Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. You know, this is the right place for all the most realistic, practical, most current home improvement information you're going to find anywhere. Boy, it's starting to get a little cool outside in a lot of parts of the country. We're going to share with you a few things you might want to put on that list you have on the refrigerator to take care of before it really gets cold. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my buddy Joe Truini, and some of the things we're going to tackle during this hour of the show, load-bearing walls. How many times, Joe, have you gotten that question from a homeowner? How do I know if it's a load-bearing wall? Because I really want to tear it down. Well, slow down. You really have to know what you're doing when you're getting along when you're starting to tear down any wall in your home.
Well, we can tell you the way not to know it's a load-bearing wall is by tearing it down and then seeing what happens, because that is that actually happens occasionally. But yeah, there are certain ways, and unfortunately, there's no real one way to tell. It's not like, oh, well, if I go up and look at the ceiling, I can tell right away. Well, there are a few other things that you need to do, and it might be different from your house to from my house. So, but yeah, there are ways to tell.
So we're going to give a homeowner a few of those guidelines in just a bit. Also, sweating ductwork. It just seems like this has become a problem more and more in different houses. We have a homeowner that really has some problems with a brand new air conditioning system. We're going to kind of talk them through that. Another thing we get a lot of questions about is, should I use a paint sprayer? And boy, there are so many different kinds of paint sprayers. Some of them are not worth even getting out of the box. Others will save you so much time if you know what you're doing. We're going to give you a few tips on different ways and different types of sprayers that you can use to tackle just about any project that you might be doing around your home. Also, Joe's going to share a simple solution with us a little later. Joe, what do we have?
All right, Danny, this week, the simple solution is going to be, speaking of painting, we often talk about painting with simple solutions. This is a time-saving tip for painting doors, because often with a large project like that, you know, you paint one side and you have to wait. Well, not with this tip. With this tip, you can paint the entire door at the same time.
Oh, good, good. Well, if you're about to tackle some doors, you'll definitely want to stay tuned to hear about that. Joe, this week, boy, one of your super fans we were working with, they just talked about Joe and simple solution, simple solution, simple solution.
Were you with my mother? Is that where that came from?
No.
Do I have a fan besides my mother?
Wow. She absolutely... And not only, I mean, she knew so many of them. And then she says, when I have a problem, the first thing I do is I go to todayshomeowner.com/simple solutions and I search through to see if the solution's there. And she says, oftentimes it is. And she offered, you know, a couple ideas for some other simple solutions things like that that are similar to what we've done in the past. But still, it's got, people are listening, people are paying attention, and people are being helped. Homeowners are being helped with a lot of the information that we share. And we certainly like that. Hey, one of the things we want to remind you about is a wealth of information that's waiting on you right now at todayshomeowner.com. While you're there, click on Four Seasons. You hear us talking about this over the years, the four seasons of homeownership, where Joe and I sat down and figured out what are those main things you need to do throughout the year. Well, it ended up being 40 items on that list. We wouldn't provide you a list with 40 items, but we'll provide you a more of a bite-sized approach by providing you four lists with 10 items on each one. And it's time for you to check out the one to get ready for fall, because next week is the first day of fall. So you need to start thinking about some of the colder weather, some of the things. So I want to encourage you to drop by and check out the all the information that we have there, videos, articles, everything. Again, todayshomeowner.com/four seasons. But Joe, I thought we would maybe pull some of the simple ones out of there and maybe encourage people this weekend to take on some of these, because that's the other part about the Four Seasons list. They're very, very manageable. What would be some of the things that you would consider maybe some of the top five things that you would suggest to our listeners?
Well, I live in New England, and I live on a very heavily wooded lot. So the first thing I think of come fall, of course, are leaves. So how to deal with leaves. And that includes cleaning gutters and downspouts. And then also, while you're cleaning them, might as well inspect them and make any repairs if necessary. And of course, we often talk about the importance of raking leaves off your lawn, because if they just sit there all winter, they're going to all fall all winter, they're going to smother the grass and cause problems, including diseases.
You know, another thing, you're going to be inside a lot more during the winter months than you maybe you have been over the last few months. And if you haven't changed that air filter on your heating and cooling system, let's do it this weekend and use a good one. Use one that's a electrostatic filter. You might want to really look in the home center on some of the different filters that are available. They have some pretty unique ones. They even have one out there now that you can install, pair with your phone. Yes, you have an app for that, that you can pair the filter with your phone. It'll tell you exactly when it's time to change it based on how much debris that's in that filter. So, you know, technology's even caught up with a lot of the air filters there. But very important for the indoor air quality in your home and getting good indoor air quality. Also making sure that your system is running as efficiently as you should. That's a real good one. Also, Joe, I'm still mowing grass down here in the southeast.
Right.
You're probably about to ready to put the lawnmower in. What are some great tips? And this is something you hear a lot of differing opinions on. But Joe, when you get ready to put that lawnmower up, what do you do to your lawnmower?
Yeah, they often tell you to drain the lawnmower, all the gas, or put a stabilizer in it. And you can certainly do that. But I tell you what, I've been practicing for a few years, and this is a tip I got from a professional who repairs lawnmowers all the time, including mine when I have to have mine service. And what I do is I just run it until it runs out of gas. So the last time I mow the lawn, you know, the last one or two times I mow the lawn, I don't put any gas in it. And if I do have to fill it up, I just put in sparingly, just enough to keep it running. And then when I've mowed it for the very last time, I just let the mower run. And usually it only runs for a few minutes at that point, and until it's completely out of gas. Because what that does, it burns out all the gas from the fuel line. There's no old gas to get clog up and get sticky, and you don't have to do anything. That's it. And just put it away. And also, if it's a lawn tractor, take the battery out. I take out the battery, I store it inside. Mm-hmm. And I've done this for the last 10 years with my lawn tractor. And in the spring, it starts right up, put the battery in.
How about that? Wow.
I charge up the battery before I put it in. I'm not sure it really needs it, but I've always done that. And then, you know, I charge it up, put in fresh gas, and it starts right up. So that's what I would recommend. And that goes not only for your lawnmower, of course, but any gas equipment you might own.
And you may as well get, you know, a head start on everything, too, and go ahead and put a new spark plug in, make sure that air filter is in really good shape. Go ahead and get that blade sharpened up. You're not going to need it for a while, but still, when you need it, then it's great that you've already done that and already taken care of it. So, and this pretty much goes for any gas-powered equipment that you have that you're not going to be using. Of course, you may want to look at that snowblower if you're in an area there that you're going to need it and get it ready, but that's very important. Another thing, that draining the gas out like that is a great idea for many reasons, including an outdoor, an outboard motor.
Right.
My father taught me to do that many, many years ago, and his 18 horsepower Evinrude, he would do that every single time we would go fishing. And by the way, it's still running 54 years later.
Wow, so that's amazing. Yep.
Yes, that does work really well.
I do that with my outboard too. I park it in the garage. Back the boat into the garage, I take the propeller off, and I just set it into a big tub of water, a big bucket full of water, and I just let it run until it runs out.
Yeah,
and
there you go.
The next spring and summer, it starts right up.
That's right. Then you don't have to worry about how you dispose of the gas and the stabilizer. Does it really work? And, you know, those kind of things. Hey, another thing that you might want to try this weekend, and we have all the information waiting on you at todayshomeowner.com, and that's draining your water heater. You'd be surprised when you hook your hose up to that water heater, turn the power or the gas off to the water heater, and then drain that to a safe spot outside. You'll be amazed at what you see coming out of that water heater if you haven't done it for very long, because there's a lot of sediment in there. It'll kind of bog down the operation of the water heater. This gives you a chance to make it run a lot more efficient, and as a result, that water heater is going to last a lot longer. Probably also a good idea to walk around the perimeter of the house, Joe, and make sure that envelope is nice and tight, including the weather stripping.
Yeah, this is the time of year, right, Danny? As the weather gets colder and you have cold wind blowing, you want to make sure, you know, the weather stripping and the caulking around all the windows and doors are in place, because you never know. Over the course of the year, the cracks dries out and siding expands and contracts. So you want to take care of that. Scrape away any old caulking and put in some new caulking. And also, if you live in an older home with single-pane windows, I'm assuming you install storm windows. So this is the time of year, if you live in the colder climates, they have to install your storm windows and storm doors. Most modern homes, including mine, we don't actually replace the whole storm door. You just take out the screens and put in the glass. But in any case, make sure to do that this coming fall.
Well, all of this and a lot more is available for you right now. Today is homeowner.com/four seasons so that you can get a head start on the colder weather that's coming up. But right now, this is a wonderful time of the year to get outside and really enjoy things and maybe work on the deck. We're going to talk with the homeowner about that in a little bit later and a whole lot more. Remember, you can reach out to us very, very easily by picking up the phone. 800-946-4420 is the Today's Homeowner hotline. We appreciate all the wonderful calls we got this week, and we also appreciate the great emails we've received. You can send us one anytime by going to todayshomeowner.com/ask. Okay, get ready. We've got some great information to share with you this week, like we do every week, so don't go anywhere. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio.
From installing a smart garage door opener to installing a bathroom faucet, to removing a tree, the Home Depot believes you can do anything, especially the things we have how-to guides for. Visit homedepot.com for thousands of tips, workshops, and ideas for projects, big and small. The Home Depot app, how doers get more done.
So you like improving your home? Me too. Join me, Chelsea, at checkinwithchelsea.com for even more home improvement tips, tricks, and inspiration. I love improving my home and sharing the ups and downs with you so we can all learn together. Every month, I post a new project or how-to video with lots of other DIY posts in between. If I can do it, I know you can too. So drop by checkinwithchelsea.com or follow me on Instagram at checkinginwithchelsea.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, heard coast to coast on some awesome radio stations, including a brand new one that's just joining the Today's Homeowner Radio Network. This one is in Statesboro, Georgia, WWNS AM 1240. Special hello to the President GM, Brian Steele. So glad to have you guys on board. We want to help you out with any of the challenges you may have as a homeowner, and we make it really easy. You can pick up the phone, 800-946-4420. Or you can send us an email anytime, todayshomeowner.com/ask. Right now, we're going to get right to the Today's Homeowner Hotline. Wilma is on the line right now. Wilma, welcome to the show, and tell us what's going on around your house there.
Thanks, Danny. Well, my husband and I are really amateur do-it-yourselfers. And we've attempted some marginal things and had some marginal success with those marginal things. But we keep, there's this one wall in our home that we keep looking at and thinking, it would be so nice if that wall weren't here. And how do you go about determining if a wall in your home is load-bearing? Is there any easy, definitive way to know?
Well, we can give you some things to look for, but it a lot of times does take a fairly educated eye in order to determine, you know, if a wall can be removed. And any wall that's removed, you have to do certain things to make sure there's no shifting or any consequences after that. You know, one of the things that you'll see when you're in the attic looking at that wall, you'll be able to see if the ceiling joist cross over it or they join on top of it. You'll also see occasionally where there will be braces going from on top of a wall to the sections or components of the roof. Anything that's sitting on a wall like that in the attic does mean it is holding some weight and it's there for a reason. So essentially it is a load-bearing wall. But if you're looking there and you're raking your insulation back and you're looking at the wall that you're trying to, you know, determine whether or not you want to remove remove it and no other wood is sitting on top of it, then it most likely is a non-load-bearing wall and can be removed. But, I've been a remodeling contractor for many, many years, and I've taken out more walls than I've actually built. And so I can tell just by glancing if it's one. I can tell you this. Any wall in any home just about can be removed. Some are more expensive than others and require beams to support it overhead, but just about any wall can be removed. And again, it's just some will take a little more investment than others. So that would be the first thing I would look at, is if there's any other wood positioned on top of that wall when you look at it in the attic.
Okay. All right. Sounds like there's a trip to the attic in my future.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It may wait until November. It's too hot right now.
It is very hot up there. But that's one of the things you need to think about. And, it can be a very positive project when you remove a wall. But I'll tell you what a lot of people don't consider. Flooring. Mm-hmm. You have to match up that flooring. You know, somehow you just can't nail a board down. So if you have one type of floor in one room and a different type in the other, you'll have to determine what to do there.
Yeah.
So that can represent a fair amount of cost. Also, you're talking about a very visible patch in your ceiling of your drywall or plaster, whatever you have. That should not be taken lightly, because you don't want to, if you remove that wall, you want to remove any sign that a wall was ever there. So that's something that you would really have to look at and consider in the scope of work, the cost of it, and so forth. And Joe, there's another thing there that always plagues somebody when they're taking a wall out: electrical.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming, Wilma, this wall has some electricity in it.
It does. It does.
Yeah, because code would require it. If the wall is more than like 4 feet long, would have to have electricity in it. Now, you can reposition that somewhere else if it's close to a nearby wall that's not being removed. But ordinarily, all that is removed, and so that's an additional cost. But Danny's right. You know, some people think, well, if it's a load-bearing wall, I can't move it. No, you can remove a load-bearing wall. It's going to cost you 2 to 3 times, maybe 4 times more than removing a partition, and a partition is just a wall that's not load bearing, because that you could just remove.
Right.
And as far as patching the ceiling, which is a good point, typically the best way to do that, because remove a wall, you might have like a 4 or 5 inch piece of drywall going in the ceiling that's now missing. And if you just try to patch that, it's really hard to hide. So it's usually better to cut back at least a foot or two on either side, and either put in a full sheet or a half sheet of sheetrock. And this way, it gives you a larger area to sort of blend it from one room to the other, instead of a little strip that you're trying to put in there. But either way, if you want to know the easiest way, as Danny mentioned, if a wall's load-bearing, is up in the attic. Fortunately, you do have access to the attic. And if you see joists running parallel with the wall, chances are it's just a partition wall. Going perpendicular to the wall and joists sitting on top of that wall, well, that wall is load-bearing and supporting it.
All right, perpendicular. Okay, I got it. All right, thanks so much, guys.
Good luck.
Thanks so much for being with us, Wilma, and best of luck to you on that.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, good.
We should have mentioned the other rule is, if your husband's pulling down that wall, stand way back to the side.
That's
just
right.
Just in case he didn't figure it out correctly.
Just in case that something went astray. I've gotten a lot of panic calls on Monday morning over the years where, our friend told us it wasn't load-bearing, so we decided to Saturday afternoon, we just started sledgehammering away, and something is sagging. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So,
that's no joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those walls are there for a reason. They're called load-bearing for a reason.
Exactly right. But I've put in 35-foot long LVL laminated veneer lumber beams and removed this, and, you know, like a ranch-style home where you're able to walk in the front door and see all the way to the backyard and open it up. It's just always a very positive thing. But when you're having to reroute air conditioning lines, return air grills, doorbells,
electrical
on, and you're going to run into some plumbing. Like, why do they put a vent pipe here? And so it can be quite a challenge. So proceed cautiously on that. Hey, let's go right to an email here. We got a lot of great emails this week. This came in from Marie. Hi, Danny and Joe. My plastic laminate floor is beginning to develop gaps between the planks. Is there anything I can use to fill in those narrow spaces? Joe, we've heard this quite a bit on that, not maybe acclimating the floor before it's installed. And then
right.
here, when you have cracks like this, it's a shrinkage of that. Boy, Maurice definitely would not want to fill that with anything because that would end up being a problem later on.
Yeah, first of all, what are you going to fill it with? Like, you know, wood filler or caulk or whatever. And then what happens when those planks expand, which I assume they're going to? Now, what we don't know is how old this floor is. She said that it's beginning to develop gaps. So I guess they were tightly together. They weren't installed with gaps. So they've developed these gaps probably from shrinkage. So, yeah, unfortunately, I don't think there's much she can do. And I bet, you know, and as the seasons get colder and the heat comes on, they're probably going to shrink even a little more. But come summer, they're going to expand. And if they can't expand, they're going to start buckling. So I think they shouldn't have gaps in it, though. I mean,
no,
you know, it really shouldn't. But she has them. Excuse me. She has them. And I wouldn't fill them because then they wouldn't be able to expand. And then you might have a buckling problem.
And it's the same way with a traditional hardwood floor.
Absolutely, yeah.
One that's a engineered floor or the old traditional 3/4-inch oak floor or pine. You really don't want to fill those gaps because, you know, during the summer, of course, right now, during this time of the year, generally is when you don't have the gaps. It's when it starts getting cold and maybe there's not a vapor barrier under your home. And then it starts to, you know, kind of shrink down a little bit and cracks will form around your house that were not there during the middle of the summer. So it's just one of those expansion contraction things that happen all the time with your home. So hopefully that'll help you out, Marie. And again, if you'd like to send us an email, pretty easy, todayshomeowner.com/ask. Hey, coming up, we're going to be talking with a homeowner who's got a brand new air conditioner installed, but all of the ductwork is leaking and sweating. What can she do at this point? We're going to point her in the right direction, just like we do every week right here on Today's Homeowner Radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to Today's Homeowner. If there's a tip or piece of advice you may have missed, find it at todayshomeowner.com/radio. Call Today's Homeowner Radio anytime, 800-946-4420.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our best new product segment brought to you by the Home Depot, How Doers Get More Done. Drill drivers are probably the most common cordless tool used by homeowners and pros alike. And the more we use them, the more we expect from them. So DeWalt is delivering more with this new brushless hammer drill driver combo kit with FlexVolt. The half-inch hammer drill driver in this kit has FlexVolt Advantage, which means it gets up to 42% more power when paired with FlexVolt batteries. It also has a 3-speed transmission for greater versatility and 3-mode LED lighting that's 20 times brighter than the predecessor. Now, that's true. A light on the drill. If your drill and your drill driver does not have one of the little LED lights on it, I'm telling you, you will want one because when you almost every time you're drilling, wherever you are, a little extra light can certainly help a lot. Now, there's also a 20-volt Max XR Impact driver, a FlexVolt battery, a compact 20-volt Max battery, and a 6-amp charger in the combo kit. Both tools are compatible with all the DeWalt 20-volt Max and FlexVolt batteries. So if you expect more from a drill driver, this is the one that can deliver it. You can check it out yourself by going to HomeDepot.com. Joe, you're certainly a big guy on testing tools and so forth. I don't know. You probably hadn't gotten your hands on this one because it's brand new out on the market.
I have the predecessor, I guess, because I do have a brushless hammer drill driver. I don't have the combo kit. And just last week, we were talking about combo kits and how it's a really affordable way for homeowners to get to build up their tool arsenal because you don't have to buy a separate battery and a separate charger every time you buy a tool. So, and DeWalt has been around a long time now, and they do make some of the best tools. So, yeah, if you're in the market for a new drill driver, might as well check this out because the hammer drills work as a hammer drill if you're drilling at the concrete, works as a drill driver for every other type of screw driving, and of course, it operates as a regular drill. So, yeah, they're very, very, very popular and versatile.
And last week I was talking about buying all of the tools for my youngest daughter who just bought her house. A little bit late in the show, I want to follow up on that experience because it was a fantastic weekend and tell you a few of the things that I found when I was doing that shopping. But right now, let's see if we can help out Gail in North Carolina. Gail, welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. Tell us what's happening at your house.
Well, last May 2020, we replaced our air conditioner.
Mm-hmm.
And then this year in August, we went out and found out that it was keeping water inside the house, inside the shed area it stays in. So we called the air condition company, and they came out and they changed the water safety switch. They said it was keeping it from draining, and they replaced the pipe that's supposed to drain the air conditioner. After that, we noticed that there's wet spots on the ceiling. So they suggested someone come and cut a hole in the ceiling to look. And it turns out that the ducts themselves are sweating. So they suggested someone come and put
insulation?
Yes, sir. Insulation around that. So they took off the sulfur on the outside of the condo we're in and put air conditioning in there and then put the sulfur back up. But it's still, the humidity is super high in the house. It's like 75%. The ducts are still draining, and we don't know if we have to remove the whole roof in the living room or the whole ceiling and have someone come out and insulate it, or is it something that went wrong when they installed the air conditioner?
Oh, boy, this does sound like a big headache, because, you know, when you got that new air conditioner put in, you thought, okay, that's it. I can just relax for a few years. So I hate the, Gail, that you're having these kind of problems like that. Certainly, the humidity in your home should not be above 50%. It should be really lower to 35 to 50%. That means that air conditioning is working properly. I really question, Joe, what do you think on this? Do you think that maybe that air conditioning was sized improperly? And because, you know, you think about, you know, why was it not dripping before?
Right.
I'm just wondering what could be causing this. We know it's condensation. We know it's high humidity. But could the new unit that was being installed actually cause that to make it a worse problem?
It certainly could, Gail, if it's not balanced to the house and the ductwork. Now, so they replaced the new air conditioner, but it's the same old ducts that were there. They didn't replace the ducts.
No, sir.
And they were not an issue before, so obviously it's a problem with the air conditioning unit. And contractors will often install a slightly bigger unit. And I'm not sure because they're trying to make more money or they just think you need it. I can't guess at why they would have. So if they put in a larger unit, and you know, bigger is not better when it comes to air conditioners. It should be sized to your house and to the systems you have. And ordinarily, all air conditioning ducts should be not only insulated but sealed, meaning that the joints between the ducts should be sealed with a mastic and or tape, and then insulated. Because if they just insulate it and these joints are leaking cold air, it could still cause condensation. Now, maybe if it's a little bit of condensation, it might not be an issue because the insulation might absorb it. It might not drip down. But you have these ducts are not going to be insulated because they weren't insulated originally. And some of them are going to be inside walls and above ceilings. And as you discovered, that's a lot of work to get to those. So I would just have them come out and check the unit itself and explain, listen, this was never an issue before and now it is. So it's obviously the new air conditioner. But other than sealing the ductworks, sealing and insulating ductworks, I'm not sure what else I could tell you to do.
All right, because we've had a dehumidifier running now for over a week and a half. It's not lowered the humidity in the house. We've had a fan blowing at the hole in the ceiling where the water first appeared, and it has not stopped it.
Unfortunately, that's not going to solve the problem. The dehumidifier will take the moisture out of the air, but it's not preventing the problem in the first place.
Okay. So we need to go back to the original air conditioning company and make sure that they've installed the right size air conditioner.
That's correct.
If they didn't, are they liable to fix the ducts for us? Because the place is already, we had the same air conditioner for 17 years with no problem.
Well, that would be an issue that would be something you would want to address on that one, Gail, because it was not a problem before. It's a problem now. And certainly the big concern is it's not working. It's just not working if that humidity is at that high of level. Small little digital hygrometer will be able to tell you exactly what that relative humidity is, but you should not have to use a dehumidifier. You should not have to use any other thing other than that brand new air conditioning to keep you comfortable. So sorry to hear about that, but have a serious phone call and a serious meeting with that air conditioning company. Hey, we'll be right back here on Today's Homeowner Radio.
Are you hooked on home improvement? Then take our easy-to-understand practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading the Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have access to the latest tips, tricks, and answers to your home improvement questions. It's like having Danny Lipford and his crew right there with you while you work. Subscribe to the Today's Homeowner podcast today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn more. What can you do with one bag of Quikrete? Create your masterpiece and enter it into the Quikrete One Bag Wonder Contest for a chance to win up to $2,500. Large or small, practical or whimsical, any Quikrete mix will do. The bag is the limit. Open to legal residents of the United States and Puerto Rico 18 years of age or older. Void where prohibited. Promotion ends October 8th, 2021. For official rules and complete details, visit quikrete.com/one-bag-wonder.
Is your concrete driveway, sidewalk, or patio looking old and worn? Time and exposure to the elements can cause concrete to flake, discolor, or just look dull. Now you can easily renew your concrete surfaces with Quikrete Recap Concrete Resurfacer at a fraction of the cost of replacing it, and you can do it yourself. Quikrete Recap will give you a durable new finish that will last for years. For more information on Recap, visit Quikrete.com. Quikrete, what America's made of. Metal roofing is durable, low maintenance, and energy efficient, making it one of the best choices for today's homeowners. They often last 50 plus years and can protect your home from extreme weather. With styles and colors to suit every taste, metal roofing is definitely worth considering. Want to learn more about metal roofing or find a contractor near you? Check out the Metal Roofing Alliance at metalroofing.com. While you're there, be sure to enter the Metal Roofing Rave sweepstakes and you could win a $100 Home Depot gift card. Visit metalroofing.com today. In older homes with old electrical wiring, the hazards you don't see may be the most dangerous ones. Loose wiring connections or damaged wires can cause arcing or sparks that may lead to a fire. The solution is an arc fault circuit interrupter, or AFCI. Leviton offers AFCI outlets and circuit breakers that detect hazardous arc faults and interrupt the power, reducing the likelihood of an electrical fire. Learn more at leviton.com/AFCI. Could your backyard use a makeover? You can create beautiful outdoor living spaces with Rumblestone from Pavestone. Create a paver patio or walkway, garden retaining wall, grill enclosure, fire pit, or even an outdoor kitchen. These rustic building blocks make it easy and they look great. Rumblestone from Pavestone is available at the Home Depot. And be sure to check out the project ideas and how-to videos at pavestone.com. That's pavestone.com.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Deitch Coatings. Easily roll on your new stone countertop, garage floor, and more in just a weekend with Deitch.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. I want to remind you about our newsletter. If you haven't signed up for our e-newsletter, do that today by going to todayshomeowner.com/newsletter. We'll send you just one newsletter each and every week that'll give you some of the latest, greatest information you need to know in order to maintain your home and to have the best looking house on the block. Again, it's todayshomeowner.com/newsletter. We also want to remind you how you can reach out to us. 800-946-4420 is the Today's Homeowner hotline, and that's exactly what Mary did. She's on the line right now. And Mary, welcome to the show, and tell us what's going on around your house.
Hi, Danny. I have a house with fifth scale vinyl trim, and I'm interested in a paint sprayer to help me recover that. It needs to be repainted.
Okay.
I love that fish scale siding.
Yeah, I do too.
Shingles, really, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I like that as well.
Want to explain to listeners who might not know exactly what fish scale siding is? They're, you may have seen it, not recognize it, but they're usually shingles, most often wood, but I think they actually make vinyl ones now, that are shaped like a fish scale, so it's rounded at the bottom. And they don't do the whole house. They usually do the upper portions of a gable or accents here and there, but they're really beautiful. You hardly ever see them anymore, maybe because they're just more expensive than regular shingles. No more expensive to install, but Mary, I'm glad you have them and you're thinking of taking care of them.
Well, thank you.
Well, I tell you, some of the sprayers can be pretty aggressive. You know, there's kind of several different categories, but basically the airless sprayer is what you see a lot of the professional contractors using when they're really aggressively painting the outside of a house. But what we found is, you know, a low pressure type sprayer is a lot more controllable. And I know Chelsea absolutely loves it and she'll use it. She'll paint one shelf board and she's breaking out the sprayer because the results are so good. You're able to control the spray so well. And the one that she's been using, and as a matter of fact, she used it a lot this week on a project that we did, she ordered from Woodcraft.com, and it's called a Home Right. And very reasonable, very easy to clean, very easy to use. It's also not so loud like a lot of those electric ones in the past had that obnoxious grinding sound to it, and it works inside, outside, but it just controls the paint so much better that you don't have the problems with as much with the overspray. You still have to do a little taping and, you know, covering up around the area that you're painting, but I think you'll find that that's about the easiest one I've ever seen to use.
Well, that sounds good. My husband has been really hesitant about this, but Chelsea makes it look so easy when she uses it on your show.
Well, it definitely is, and like I say, she's a big fan of it. And but we were really hesitant a couple years ago before we found this particular model because we just had bad experiences with others that, you know, spitting the paint out, and it would go for a few minutes, and then you'd have to stop. Finally, you just say, "To heck with that! Where's the roller and the brush?" But this one just, I don't know. They've got it figured out, and again, very reasonable. And she's painted, she painted a island in a kitchen with very little cover up around it and finished it in 30 minutes. And we were just amazed at how quickly that paint job inside an existing house and how good the paint job held up and so forth. And then we were using it on an exterior, painting some doors just this past week. So I think that's your secret to it. And it's like so many things, Mary, once you have one of these tools, you end up finding so many ways of using it. Probably your neighbor's recruiting you from time to time. You have to be careful on that one. I think that'll solve your problem. You'll be real satisfied with that.
Well, that sounds great because I was not looking forward to trying to use a brush on all those scalloped fish scale trim.
I don't blame you at all. Just be careful when you know getting up that ladder or scaffolding or whatever, you know, make sure that's in good shape so that you're not you don't step off of it and that kind of thing. But that's commonly called an HVLP is what they call it. HVLP sprayer. And again, you can go to Woodcraft right now and order the Home Right one just like Chelsea uses.
Okay, well, that sounds great, Danny. Thank you.
Okay, Mary, so glad that you were able to spend some time with us here on the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, and hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Okay, bye-bye now. Hey, I want to remind you about your basement and some of the things you kind of need to think about in terms of some maintenance from time to time, you know, because like any part of your home, that basement door will need a little maintenance from time to time to make sure it continues doing the job well for a long time. The first thing is to inspect each spring and fall is the finish of the door. If the paint on the door is scratched or chipped, you should touch up those areas as soon as possible because exposed metal will begin to rust and that'll shorten the life of the door considerably. New coat of paint may be necessary for the entire door every few years because of how it's exposed to the elements. Next, you'll want to check the area under the door for moisture. If you see any signs of water, look at the seams between the basement door and the concrete foundation. If the caulk in this seam has been damaged or deteriorated, you'll want to apply a fresh bead of caulk to solve that problem. You know, even without leaks, some moisture is natural in a space that's below grade, so it's important to open the door frequently during good weather to circulate some good good fresh air and dry things out in there. At the top of each door, there's a U-shaped flange called the header channel. This moves water away from the opening like a gutter, and just like the gutter on your roof, it tends to fill up with debris from time to time. To avoid an overflow or leakage, clean out the header channel periodically, and all moving parts require some lubrication, so a few sprays of a multi-purpose lubricant on the hinges and slide bolt will make a big difference and keep the doors swinging freely. Now, these tips are brought to you by Bilco, the leader in basement access products. To learn more about your basement, visit bilco.com. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my co-host, Joe Truini. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with a great, simple solution that you're going to want to hear. Stay with us.
Looking to update the look of your fireplace mantle? I've got just what you need at checkinginwithchelsea.com. Just search for fireplace plans for free printable plans. Then watch my how-to video of this simplistic but sophisticated design, and you're on your way to building your own fireplace mantle too. I can't wait to see what you build, so be sure to share your mantles by tagging me on social media. I'm at checkinginwithchelsea. Again, the plans and video are online now at checkinginwithchelsea.com.
From installing a smart garage door opener to installing a bathroom faucet to removing a tree, The Home Depot believes you can do anything, especially the things we have how-to guides for. Visit homedepot.com for thousands of tips, workshops, and ideas for projects, big and small. The Home Depot app, how doers get more done.
Got a project? Trust the tough adhesives the pros depend on for demanding construction and repair jobs. Get unmatched strength and durability, helping reduce installation time and callbacks. Our multiple adhesive technologies meet a variety of performance needs and are perfect for interior and exterior use. Nothing beats their reliability. Tight Bond Construction Adhesives, the trusted choice for the pro in you.
Chelsea Lipford Wolf here. If you're a fan of great before and afters, you need to check out my ranch revival. Dad and I are renovating my 1950s ranch-style home inside and out. You'll get the scoop on everything from simple curb appeal updates and painting projects to energy efficiency improvements and rearranging walls. Find out more at todayshomeowner.com/ranch revival. Brought to you by American Standard, Armstrong Ceilings, Geldwin Windows and Doors, Rockwool, and Wetwall, a Wilson Art Company.
You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. This is the time of the show when we turn it over to my buddy Joe Truini for another simple solution.
All right, Danny, not too long ago, just a few minutes ago, we were talking about spray painters and how handy they are to have. And once you have one, you'll be using it for all kinds of jobs around your house, including one of the best things it's used for is painting doors. Because often you have to paint one side of the door and then what? You have to wait a few hours before you can flip it over and paint the other side. So here's a simple solution on painting doors without the weight. What you want to do is first, well, you're going to use a sprayer, but you're also going to take two screw hooks. And they could be, you know, pretty good size, maybe an inch and a half, 2 inches long, and you're going to screw them into the top corners of the door, one on right near the edge of the door, two of them, and then you find in your shed or workshop or basement or wherever where you can install a couple of loops of cable or rope and just hook the door so it's hanging. So now it's completely suspended off the floor and just hanging. And then you can spread some plastic around if you want to, you know, protect the surfaces from nearby surfaces from overspray. So with the door hanging off these hooks from the joists above, you can spray paint the front door and go around the back of the door and spray paint it immediately, the edges. And if you go to todayshomeowner.com/simplesolutions right now, you can see a video of me showing this tip. And it's a great way to do it. That door hangs. You can easily apply one or two coats if you need to. Apply primer if it's not primed first. Let that dry without moving the door and come back. Once that dry and put on the top coat, it's a lot quicker than using a paint brush and a roller, especially if it's a panel door, has bevels and lots of moldings to molded edges to paint around. So next time you want to paint a door, try this trick.
Oh, that's a great simple solution. Another great simple solution. There's over 500 of them waiting on you right now at todayshomeowner.com/simple solutions. Yeah, that's great when you're dealing with that. Chelsea's working, of course, continue working on her ranch revival, as we call it. And she's got a lot of doors that she's about to do that same thing and hanging them up in her outside the carport and right, putting some plastic up and able to do that a lot. Hey, speaking of my daughters, you know, last week I was talking about visiting my youngest daughter up in Birmingham. She just bought her very first house, very excited. So I dropped by Home Depot to pick up, you know, tools. So I picked this up and that up. I just about had a full buggy. And then all of a sudden I see this toolkit that has right, almost every single thing that I had in my buggy in it. Really? And this was like $50, and I had probably $250 worth of stuff in my, you know, and I started looking at it to see if the, you know, really good quality and so forth. Right. And that was just perfect. I bought her some extra things other than that, but right, she was so happy. And I'm telling you, during the 2.5 days that we were working on her house, you know, the hanging the curtains and repairing this, sure, and touching yeah, this up, we used every single tool in that kit. And now it's hers. She has it great, all set aside in a little closet. And I guarantee you, she's used that. You know, she had a bed frame that she's putting together. I know she used it for that. And yeah, and what a great housewarming gift that she now has. And who knows, it may save me a little work down the road.
Yeah, maybe she'll bring it to your house next time and help you out one of your projects.
I'm not sure it'll get that far, but at least at least she'll be able to take care of some of the things without me making good, that four-hour drive from time to time.
As a dad, you want to help out your kids any way you can, so good for you.
Yeah, that worked out really well. Hey, that's going to pretty much wrap up this first hour of Today's Homeowner Radio. Hope we've been able to share with you some information that you can use at your home. If you're listening to a station that doesn't carry the second hour, head on over to todayshomeowner.com/radio so that you don't miss a thing. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my buddy Joe Truini. Thanks so much for listening to this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio.
Hey, we want to hear from you at Today's Homeowner Radio. Call the Today's Homeowner Hotline anytime, 800-946-4420, or send us an email at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Again, thanks for listening to this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio.